Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name football. Of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we've got not an opposition, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss me in the britches. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too.
Welcome back to our latest Mountain West Connection show. Check us out at MWCConnection.com, Twitter, MWCConnection. Send us your hate mail at those two locations. And we're back for a recap in Week 11. Jeremy here with Chris. And so how was your viewing weekend of these games since your Broncos were off?
Oh, so awesome. I've had a, you know what? It's been an eventful college weekend. I start off the whole weekend by, I actually missed watching Air Force New Mexico, but that was actually in order to actually drive down to San Diego to go watch San Diego State pummel UCR.
You shouldn't have continue your story. I won't interrupt this early.
And so guess what? That just means that it's basketball season now, and so college football is not just our only focus.
Yeah, well, this show mainly, 98% will be. We'll decide. We discussed last week, we're working on a hoop.
Well, until we actually, you know, have less football games to talk about, we'll have a podcast about basketball sometime soon.
But I think you should have gone to the UCI game instead.
Because
Irvine's not too far from you either, is it? It's still in the neighborhood.
That's actually closer to me
than San Diego.
San Diego State. The problem is I don't get free tickets at UCI.
True. However, the way that game ended, I saw the fan video they posted. That's an amazing way Fresno won, and their coach went nuts. He goes crazy.
I mean, if you read my preview that I did with Anthony, our Fresno State writer, and I was writing as a Big West writer, nobody was expecting Fresno State to win this game.
Nope.
UCI is picked to win the Big West, so
I did not
you know
that high.
Yeah.
It's a bad loss, because Fresno is what?
It's a very bad loss for UCI. But see, that once again, I didn't pick UCI to win the conference, so I'm not looking like an idiot right now.
No problem. We've got big, just to keep up on hoops real quick, we have two big games this week. Gonzaga is playing Colorado State tomorrow night in that tip-off marathon deal. And then the really big game is San Diego State hosting, number 6 Arizona on Thursday night?
Yes, that will be a good game.
Huge. All right.
I almost kind of want to go to that game too, but see, I may go to the UCLA game on Friday night. So.
Who do they play?
They play Colorado. It's football.
Oh, football. Oh, sorry. I was talking about football. All right, let's move on to football now. So
let's move on to football. That was my segue into football.
Yeah. I kind of glossed over the Air Force New Mexico game Friday night, which I wish I could have had my soul focus on. I had to also attend basketball game. But, man, was I right on this, how the game would turn out, essentially?
Oh, no, you were totally right.
It's not hard to get it right, where here's what happened. I guess we should mention the score first of all, because that should be what we should
do. Yes, New Mexico beat Air Force 45-37.
Keeping the Lobos' bowl chances intact, however slim that might be. But they're just saying, hey, they're not eliminated from bowl contention. And did you notice the first touchdown that New Mexico had?
It was a passing touchdown.
The only pass by Cole Gauthier that was completed. 28-yard touchdown.
28-yard passing touchdown was the only 28 yards that New Mexico got on through the air that night.
Yeah, they had 451 total on the ground. Because that's kind of right. I'm pretty much right. Casey Carrier, to get me completely accurate, he needed another 21 yards. He had 179. Gauci had 140. And then Anthony Lacoste for Air Force had a great game as well. No touchdowns, but, dude, 177, averaging 8 yards a carry. Wish they had him playing week two, week three to get them to a bowl game.
So let me ask you this. Does that mean that Anthony Lacoste is legit?
It's three games over 100 yards in past two games. What do you have? 177 this week, 263. Three out of his past four games, he had over 100 yards. And even in the Notre Dame game, averaged 7 yards a carry, but only 59 yards. I think so. If you have that many games and you're that well, past four games, well over 100 yards per game average. So I think he is. Too bad they didn't know that earlier in the year when they were struggling and needing whatever. Brohm Harp's not the guy, I guess. But, man, back and forth. New Mexico, well, we knew this would happen because Air Force, Alex Means, a linebacker, and that's about it on defense.
Pretty much.
And they threw Nate Romine. Here's kind of the deal for Air Force. We know they're playing for the future, essentially. Nate Romine for being coming in to be a fourth-string quarterback. Are you watching that video right now?
Well, I was watching, apparently, the highlight of the New Mexico game. I was just trying to get to their schedule.
I'm like, oh, are you on ESPN? When they have that crowd going to play in the corner? So, yeah. Nobody probably heard that, but that... Well, maybe in your end, probably.
Maybe they heard it.
They probably...
If you did, people are cheering for us.
Yes. But, you know, our live studio audience. But, man, Nate Romine, he's going to be the guy next year. 15-23, 188. That's passing, not running, folks. That's obviously passing 15-23, but he doesn't... They don't throw that much, and he didn't run very much. He didn't need to, 20 yards, but I apologize for not knowing a ton about the game, but it just seemed like what we predicted, offensive shootout on with the ground attack. And if you take away those first two touchdowns the first quarter, this would have been Air Force's game. But after that, it went back and forth the entire way until a couple field goals. So defense,
yeah, and that's, sorry, and defense. That's, once again, that did come back to what we predicted, as in – back and forth, yeah. But, I mean, it's interesting to note that the person who had the most limited number of carries. So, okay, sorry. Let me rephrase this. So, it's interesting to note that Air Force is triple option, right?
Yes.
That Nate Romine, he had very few carries on the ground.
Yeah, 13.
And he had 13 carries, which is the second most carries on the team. But for an Air Force quarterback, that's not a lot.
Yeah, usually they're at least 15, at minimum, bare minimum, usually at least 15 to 17 on the low end.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But you know what did it? You know what I think did it for New Mexico?
Running the growl, using Casey Carrier, running straight up the middle, and Air Force's defense not stopping him?
You're thinking too logical. They had Brian Urlacher in the stadium to retire number 44.
54.
Oh, he said 44 here.
I'm sorry, number 44. He was number 44, and
Mr. Everything, college. Kick returner, defensive back, played the linebacker position, kind of. That's the reason they won. They were pumped up, scored go up 14-0, game over. Right?
So basically what you're saying is they should retire a New Mexico player every single week.
If you can, but that's not going to happen. that's why they won. But I wish I could have really sat down to see the whole thing. But, man, this was – I was kind of watching the scores, had my ESPN3 up a little bit when I was watching basketball as well. But, man, back and forth. Now, let's kind of see. There's not much to talk about the game, but New Mexico is – this is kind of who we should have been, but Air Force is terrible, so – okay, so they're not going to get a bowl game.
No, they're not.
Yeah, I forgot to look at the schedule.
Their next three games are Colorado State, Fresno State, Boise State. You tell me which one they're going to win.
Maybe Colorado State? Maybe?
No!
Maybe. I said maybe. And that's a very low confidence maybe as well.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Okay, if you're going out of those three games, that's the most likely game.
That's the most likely game to win, yes.
Even being likely, negative. So... 3-9, likely. Let's move on. If you watch the game, I'm excited that you got to watch. I wish I could have. So, moving on. Saturday. This is the Saturday schedule, if I could pull it up.
This is the Saturday schedule where I think I watched every single game, every single Mountain West game.
Good.
Which, you know, it's one of those things that you say, well, why don't you watch every single Mountain West game every single week? Well,
12 hours.
Sometimes don't exactly have that ability.
And also when, like, I'm Saturday night, Fresno, Wyoming, see at San Diego State and San Jose are at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And we also need some fresh air. Come on, guys. We need some fresh air. And sometimes
no, that's totally overrated.
Also, I'm not going to lie. Some of these games, I'd rather watch something else. And I do some weekends. Did you really want to watch all of Hawaii and Navy? Come on.
No.
Really? Was that something top of your list?
All right, no. Okay,
just saying. We keep track. I watch as much as I can. But sometimes there's other stuff going on. And I try to watch the key games. And that's what you and I normally do each week. But Nevada, Colorado State. I was not expecting the blowout. CSU 138-17.
I was kind of expecting. I wasn't expecting Nevada to be winning at halftime. That's what I wasn't expecting.
I thought there'd be more points because I know both teams can score. I wasn't surprised by that being 10-3 to half, or excuse me, 7-6. I thought there'd be more points because we know Nevada has the ability to score, and so
let me ask
CSU.
Yeah. So let me ask you this: Capri Bibbs, 2014
Heisman,
dark horse
Heisman.
is that our go to Heisman for the next year?
You still have Brett Smith in the down the tube down the line. Chucky Keaton should be back.
Jay Ajayi.
Aaron Baltazar really will be the starting running
Aaron
back
Baltazar
when he's back, or at least he'll be the 3-quarter starter in my opinion. They'll have a good 1-2 punch. But man, he was the Walter Camp Player of the Week, I believe.
Yep.
Some more 312, 10 yards in average, 30 carries, a long of 85, 4 touchdowns. He scored nearly every point for Colorado State. But man, I kind of thought this game, with it being a close, I thought the game, if it's going to be close, it would favor Nevada because Nevada has won a bit more than Colorado State has in the past few years. So you're kind of
you have to also think, and I think I said this. No, I said this in my betting lines post. I didn't say this on the podcast. The last time Nevada had a 4-game losing streak was 2001.
Yeah, we talked about the show a little bit. We didn't look it up, but we figured that they haven't been great except for a couple of years. They haven't been very terrible where there haven't been multiple losing streaks. They've got 5 in a row, and it's...
And the last time they had a 5 in a row losing streak was 2000.
Yeah, that was what, their third year in the FBS or Division One, something like that.
Something like that.
But Garrett Grayson, I know Ian's probably, even though he did well, probably doesn't want him to be the quarterback, even though he did throw for 239. And this basically was the third quarter. I guess the third quarter when they scored 3 touchdowns and Capri Bibbs tore up and did what he does by scoring 28 yards out, 59 yards out, 85 yard out to just kind of capitalize the game. I'm pretty sure that fourth quarter they're just going to run the game out. No, he's like, no, I'll take this to the house, 85 yards. And Nevada didn't play terrible. They didn't turn the ball over. They just settled for, they got the field goal. They just couldn't move the ball. Because I kind of talked in preview, Fajardo needed, what'd I say, about 350 overall.
Yeah.
He got almost 250, but he's averaging. Okay, he goes 31 of 46, which is pretty good. But he's only getting 5 yards an attempt. That...
It's not good.
And there's no other running back besides Fajardo, like Brock, Solomon, Don Jackson. Nobody did anything on the ground. They even brought in Stewart for, I guess, a little bit. I guess that was weird. You're watching that part. Why did Fajardo get pulled out early on? There's
It's because of his knee. I'm guessing.
It is his knee?
It's because his knee was still not 100%.
So I saw a little bit about that. Your joke on Twitter, I can't tell Brian Pulliam's expression because he's wearing those sunglasses.
Yeah. I just, you know what? Can I go ahead and start? I mean, I know this is very year zero of Brian Pulliam, but he's not changing the system at all. He's not really changing too much of Nevada. Can I go ahead and compare Brian Pulliam to Chris Stormy?
Already?
Look at the season Nevada's had.
Also, their offensive line, they've had 2 starters who didn't go on the trip for injury. So they've had some issues. They had a redshirt freshman and a walk-on have to start. And those 2 guys, Jeremy McAlee and Reed High, never played in the Pistol offense before. And then they had another guy, Zach Burkle, he has played before, made his first start at guard. They basically had guys moving around. They had a guy move from defensive tackle to go to the offensive line to start this game. So I can't really I didn't realize that was the case, but I can't blame them for their offense not being that well, especially in a pistol where it's I don't want to say it's a complex offense because it's not
It's not a complex offense. Everybody, you have so many teams running the pistol nowadays. This is not a complex offense.
It's not like you're running the triple option where you're pulling guards and tackles where you have the center pulling every play, like Air Force and Army and Navy and Georgia
Tech. No, it's a very simple setup, but it's a very time-effective setup.
And typically that's usually with the quarterback and running back, and sometimes the tackles if they break away to be a lead blocker. So, but still, when you mix and mash the offensive line with guys who play defense in fall camp, two guys never started ever, but I just think this line... position, this guy's never... I'll give it. If you're playing center, first time ever in a pistol, that could be difficult because it's a different type of snap. It's not the shotgun. It's not the handoff. It's underneath the butt.
No, you have to have a...
And so I could see there being an issue with that kind of being your first start, having some possibilities and issues. But then again, assuming they practice all week on that as well.
Yeah, so, it's not something... You're going to have issues no matter what, but you're not botching every single snap.
No, it's not like I was watching. What game was I watching? I was watching LSU Alabama. There was at least two snaps where center quarterback had no idea what's going on. One of them got him in the gut, luckily called a timeout, and one was a quarterback got called for illegal procedure because he stepped up to change the play and the center snapped it to him.
But
I watched that. I'm like, oh my, this is the what number team in the country, and you can't get that off, but.
This comes back to this though. I mean, Nevada controlled the time of possession. They had the same amount of penalties as Colorado State, but for less yardage. They rushed the ball fairly well. They passed the ball really well. There was no reason. The points just weren't coming.
They didn't run the ball. And when you have
an offense as talented between Fajardo at quarterback. Kendall Brock, Chris Solomon.
And even Don Jackson. They've all played
and even Don Jackson. Don Jackson was pretty much inefficient.
And he was a starter for the first couple weeks. I just think... I get
receiving, you have Brandon Wimberly, and you... I mean...
But here's the thing. This pistol offense, 164 yards, is unacceptable. They should be getting...
No, it's not.
At least 250 a game. At least 250 a game with the pistol. Because that's what...
What else? I mean, what else can you say about this? Colorado State just looks like the better team, and I'm not really placing bets right now, but I'm getting a good chance that Colorado State is going to be making a bowl game right now.
Yeah, they are.
They finish off Air Force, Utah State, New Mexico. They have to win, two of their next three?
They have to be 7 wins since they have 13 games.
Yeah, they win in New Mexico. They win at home versus Air Force. They make the bowl game.
They're possibly, outside of Fresno, playing the bet. San Jose State lost.
We'll get there.
But they're probably playing the best football almost out of any outside of Fresno State,
and maybe Boise State.
Well, they did lose to Boise, so they've been playing pretty good of late. They've been playing much better than early in the year. The blowouts to Wyoming, taking care of
Colorado. That's still puzzling. How do you lose to Colorado?
Well, they're shuffling quarterbacks to see who to play during fall camp. They didn't have Joe Hansley, and they're missing some other player who got injured during the game. They didn't really know what to add to Capri Bibbs, and CU had Paul Richardson back, who just tore him up, who's a playmaker. And Tulsa, who's not very good either. But also, I got a quick question for you. Here's another reason why Nevada lost. They had to punt on their first four possessions. They missed a field goal. They missed two field goals. So they had a lot of issues there. It's not like they left a lot of points on the board, so. And punting four times, so. Like their first, just so everybody knows, their first four drives, they had a total of 23 yards. Yeah.
God, that's ridiculous.
But here's a hypothetical for you, which is way, way, way down the road. Because we know everybody's talking about Nick Saban to Texas, just because it's fun to do so. And his wife went house hunting there a couple weeks ago.
Are you going to go say Jim McElwain to Alabama?
Yes. If they make a bowl game?
No, not yet.
They would pick somebody. They'd just promote within.
No.
Although
Jim McElwain might be ready for USC.
Mm. I think Tim Reuter would be better there.
I think Tim DeRuiter would be better there, yeah. But we don't want anybody to leave. You hear us?
Chris Peterson?
Nobody. Nobody.
All right. Next game. CSU, we're saying they're going blood. Hawaii at Navy. This game, Hawaii almost pulled it off.
Yeah, they were close. They were playing well for a while.
And
hey, guess what? There was only one quarterback playing.
I was about to mention that.
The one quarterback system works for Hawaii.
Thank you, Norm Chow, for actually doing something logical, even though you've coached for 30 or 40-plus years.
You know, and Sean Schroeder wasn't great. Don't get us wrong. 29 for 33, 246.
It's not bad.
For that many passes, it's not bad, but it's not – I mean – it could have been deeper. Those should have been deep.
For what Hawaii's done, well, Billy Ray Stutzman only had 4 receptions, which is a mistake.
But 3 touchdowns, no picks, great for Schroeder.
This could have been one of the better games because Joey Asafa had 191 yards on the ground and a touchdown.
Yeah, the story for Hawaii football today was Joey Asafa.
Yeah, finally healthy from that fractured foot he suffered, I think it was in June or July.
And also interesting to note, Ikeika Woolsey, the quarterback, lined up, and he was in there just running plays. So he wasn't there to pass. He was there to run.
Wildcat?
I guess.
The wild Polynesian? I don't know. What would you call it for Hawaii?
Wild Poly.
Wild Poly?
Wait. Wild Poi.
I was trying to think of the right name for it. I was like, oh, it's got to be something that's close to that. But it wasn't that effective, but they turned the ball over twice, which obviously hurt them. They didn't score in the third quarter. They played a pretty good game outside the scoreboard and throwing the wind, giving her the ball 2 times, but that third quarter is what they did. They tied at the half. By the time they came back to score in the third quarter, it went point for point. There's no way for them to make a comeback. So are we still on the Norm Child's going to retire at the end of the season watch?
Yeah, he's probably going to resign or retire.
He's 0-9.
But it's not, once again, it's not going to be forced.
No, it'll be... It's not going to be his decision. They'll say it's his decision, but it won't be his decision.
See, you think that? See, I think it's going to be on his own.
Yeah, maybe. Also, this game, it is not trying to check the box score. They actually missed a pair of short field goals in the first half. So, first quarter, actually. First, second quarter. So, if they could add 2 turnovers and 2 missed field goals,
they would have won this game. But this is improvement. This is possibly the best football we've seen Hawaii play all year.
Fresno State, second half, man.
Well, Fresno State, too.
Just saying. Hey, whatever. It's Hawaii. 0-9. 10 penalties, 82 yards. There's a lot of stuff that went wrong, but they did. They're showing improvement, which maybe Chow will want to hang around if they show more improvement. But do they have a win on their schedule? I'm going to look at their schedule since I don't follow Hawaii as closely as we should since they're a bad team. There's no reason to talk about that.
You know, they're not fully a Mountain West team.
Yeah, sure. They host Army. Is that going to be their one win of the year on November 30th?
Ooh. Ooh. Maybe. Air Force could beat Hawaii. Or, sorry, Air Force could beat Army.
They did beat Army.
So maybe Hawaii can.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Army has 3 wins on the year.
Relax. I'm 2 beers in.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. All right, let's move on. This game, whatever. Hawaii played well enough. I don't think there's too many Hawaii fans to listen unless we can. If Steven Sy's listening, we can get a link on his Hawaii beat site because he gets 1 million comments every day about writing. It could be
he's gonna be like linking to us. He's gonna, what are you guys doing? No,
he can write his because on his blog it's usually really really short stuff. Like he does obviously longer things, but he'll write a 2-paragraph thing with a couple of photos, and there'll be 250 comments. No joke. That guy has like, I remember Paul Meyerberg was like, because he does his countdown every day during the off season. Yeah. They're like, they're the most dedicated fan base apparently towards a beat writer or something like that. But let's move on because Chris wants this to be a shorter show. And
I want it to be a shorter show.
So do I. But I'm just saying. Okay, Utah State
listeners want it to be a shorter show as well.
Utah State, you and apparently I got that one comment goes, these guys are the worst. In Twitter, I reply back, thank you for listening.
Great feedback.
I'm just saying.
Appreciate
Utah State, UNLV. Let's start.
Damn it, UNLV! Seriously,
can we start in reverse chronological order in this game? On that last drive, on the last drive they had.
All right, fine. Let's start on the last drive.
Okay, they had the ball. Wasn't the, they had
30-yard line. 30-yard line. Mm-hmm. They first and 10. They had what? 25 seconds and 3 timeouts.
Yeah, they had the ball. Yeah. No, actually no, they're closer than that. They're first and 10 to the 16.
That's worse.
That's what I'm referring to. Okay, I'm watching the game. I'm like, so I was watching Alabama LSU, kind of flipping back and forth, tuned into this on the last drive. They moved the ball down the drive. They drive started well. They're at their own 18. This is the epitome of a 2-minute offense. You got to go down the field. Nope, field goals aren't going to do it for you. They throw the ball pretty well. They get the big, a huge 3rd and 10 play at the 26 for that first down. But here's the thing, 1st and 16, why were they going to the end zone on every single pass?
I don't know.
4 passes, and they had, and they at this point they still had 2 timeouts. They had to call a timeout.
That's really what baffled me. Was this play call to go as deep as you could, or was this Herring not seeing anybody open underneath? Because it might be Utah State was just they were covering really well deep, but it seemed to me that he was looking deep rather than looking under.
Because they still had a timeout. Actually, excuse me, they had 1 timeout because Utah State called it. But I don't know why, because you get, not that you need a first down, but you're at the 16-yard line. That's it, but they're not going just to the end zone. They're going to the corner in the back of the end zone every play. So if, there's no way that if a guy doesn't get it, he's not getting it no matter what. It's a bad throw or whatever. I don't know what was going on, but everything was to the deep of the end, deep end zone every play. And I'm like, what were they doing? And I guess Tim Cornette. That's just the way the game ended. They drove down the field fine, they just stalled. And
it's frustrating because UNLV played well enough to win. And when UNLV plays well enough to beat Utah State, mm-hmm. and don't get me wrong, okay, fine, no Chucky Keaton. But guess what? Dale Gerritsen, this is the future of Utah State football, is Mr. Gerritsen. And he looks pretty damn good.
Either next year or the year after.
Yeah. Either next year or the year after. Well, one more year of Chucky.
Well, depending if he redshirts or not, I'm saying, with that knee injury.
Yeah.
But he looks good. He, after that first game, well, even the first game, but he's looked good, and he's not the athlete as Keaton is, running around back there to run a lot, but he can run well enough. He had 13 yards, but he, no interceptions, 288, played better than Caleb Herring.
Utah State won the penalty battle. They won the turnover battle.
Third down, 10-17.
Even, yeah.
Look at that, though. Look how that also gives you, look how well UNLV's defense did good enough to force 17 third downs. It's pretty good. But then you give up 10 of them, which is about 60% there. And
yeah, but I mean, they were just barely giving up. I mean, they weren't.
But still, if you give them that many third downs, that means you're doing something right.
Right. I mean, this,
it was just bad. The real difference was that field goal UNLV had to kick in the second quarter. It went touchdown, 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 back and forth the whole game, but they had to kick that one field goal early on, and that was the game. If they got a touchdown there, and that was a 29-yarder. That's a chip shot. That's like San Jose State still under the red zone type of offense there, and they're kicking
it. Yeah, but you know what? I would rather take the points at that point.
Oh, I know that. I'm not saying they should have gone for it. I'm just saying, if they were so close, they could have got a touchdown. That was the difference in the game, essentially. There were the turnovers, but Utah State had more than UNLV, plus one for the Rebels. But if you could get a touchdown when you're that close, or get a touchdown instead of a field goal when you're that close, that's the difference in the game for the most part.
Maybe I shouldn't have hope in UNLV football anymore. Maybe that's what it is.
This is their second straight game. They were 5-3, and now they're on the brink of not making a bowl game.
Right, but they're playing Air Force. They have 2 games left. They have one against Air Force and one against San Jose State.
Do you trust them to beat Air Force?
Sorry, not San Jose State. Shoot.
I'm trying to grab it. I don't remember.
San Diego State.
Yeah, they're San Diego State. Well, Utah State, with the win, they go bowling. They are going to a bowl game for the 3rd straight year, which is, I think, a school record, I believe. If not, it should be. Because they've been they've been awful.
They were bad for so long.
Outside when they had John L. Smith there, they were just terrible, but yeah, they just had. It's just all real. It was. It's, you can't really complain too much about the game. You have the turnover, but the field goal they had to go. went 3-and-out in the fourth quarter early on, which could have made a difference after they stopped, after Utah State missed a 50-yard field goal. That's also a key part in the game. Utah State is trying to go up by six at this point, 24-21. Missed a 50-yard field goal. Utah State does nothing. They go 4 yards. They have to punt. And then Utah State says, oh, okay, fine, you punt. We will drive down the field and go touchdown and win the game, essentially. So there's a few spots here and there where they, that's all it was. They kind of, they, too many, like I'm looking here, they had multiple possessions where they had ran maybe 6 or 7 plays. Both teams, not just UNLV, but teams UNLV had more of that than Utah State. But Utah State going bowling. UNLV should be going bowling. Do they host Air Force? No, it's a road game.
Yeah, it's a road game.
And they do have the bye week, which is a good thing for them because it's a Thursday night game, but they don't play the Saturday. So, moving on, is that good enough?
Is there anything really else to talk about?
No, I was just thinking like
outside of the fact that I got Twitter quoted in the Las Vegas Review Journal.
And you spelled, what would you spell wrong in that one again?
And the word and. She fixed it though, so it was good.
Okay. I was like, I look at her, I thought something else. I'm like, what did you misspell? But hey. You are big time. I also, if people follow BOE basketball, I was in their live blog, Deseret News, the whole night, apparently.
Woo!
We
big time, Paul!
Yes, because BOE played Wisconsin this weekend. There was about 5 or 6 guys in the basketball game and only 2 regular guys, me and somebody else. So I'm like, I better step up my game and ask some questions and do some real Twittering tonight instead of watching New Mexico Air Force, which I would rather have been doing. All right, let's move on. We're keeping the show quick.
Now the truth comes out.
Hey. What? What was that?
Nothing.
I get paid more to do that than this, so that takes priority.
Okay, fine.
Fresno State at Wyoming. I was afraid early on in this game.
It was one of those things. I mean, Wyoming's up 10-0, and we're just like, okay, well, this is, here it is. That's Fresno State season. That's our BCS money. And then all of a sudden, 2 touchdowns later, it's 14-10 at half, and then complete blowout. This was the blowout we were looking for.
Finally. Yes. Are you still there, or did we lose your connection, Chris?
No, I'm here.
Oh, I'm here. Sorry about it. Yes, you're correct. We talked about it. They needed the blowout. And Derek Carr, in the first half, I saw a stat line. He was not impressive in the first half.
No.
But then he stepped up. I saw the final box score. I kind of dozed off in the third quarter. I'm like, oh, they're up 20-10. I'm taking off for the night. 360, 4 touchdowns. The running game's actually picking up for Fresno State now.
Yeah, Quezada, 16 carries, 105 yards, a touchdown.
And Waller, 51.
Yep. That's a nice little 1-2 punch right there.
Yeah, because they've been switching back and forth. I think, wasn't it last week Waller had the big game, if I recall?
Yeah. Even Derek Carr had a 14-yard scramble. Woo!
Leadfoot. No, he's not Leadfoot. I was going to make a joke, but he's not really a Leadfoot. But, man, this is – what? Wyoming – Brett Smith, oh, jeez. Oh, man.
He averaged 4.4 yards per attempt.
I know. He had 141 yards. If you take away that Taron Easton, or excuse me, Teeter Easton, 79-yard run, they would have well under 100 yards rushing on the ground. I get why he doesn't have a good
And run. On that 79-yard rush, untouched. He still couldn't even score the touchdown on that.
They couldn't even okay, first off, how does he not get tackled over that? A lot of arm tackling. And then, well, who's number 13 for Fresno? He came up with an ankle injury, but he got caught. It's like, dude, how did he get caught at the 5-yard line?
You slow down, you give up.
Yeah. I
don't know. Our good friend Tim Susiev on Twitter.
Yes.
My dog's cool. He asked me to record audio of Dave Christensen's press conference, and there was no Dave Christensen's press conference.
Actually, I can find that probably later, and maybe we'll post it on the website. I'm pretty sure, because he also mentioned this is a military appreciation night, so watch out for
this. This is also military appreciation. There's Mr. Howdy Doody.
Yes. I know there will be one up. I'll look at the guys over at the Cowboy Chronicles.
Nice ethics, Fresno State. Nice ethics. You're blowing us out by 38 points. Nice. That's just nice ethics, man. Ooh, look at me, Mr. Bulldog.
I have it right here. I'll post it on the website later, but I'm pretty sure if you'd have thrown some expletives, we'd have heard about it.
Oh, but I would have liked it. Okay.
We want to keep it short. I'll post it on the website later just to see, because we are closing in. Well, we're only 33 minutes, but we still want to keep it
Are close. You seriously keeping time here?
No, it times for me. on the program, it tells me how long we've been recording.
All right, back. Okay, back to Earth.
I'm just saying. So, okay. Well, we'll get to that later. But, okay, Wyoming. This, all we know is this game, Wyoming's fell apart second half. Their second half season's been awful. Terrible, I apologize for that, because I was a pretty big Wyoming guy and thought this game could be a challenge, which it was for, what, 2 minutes, 10 minutes? Actually, 20 minutes. We'll say 20 minutes.
No, it was for almost 20 minutes.
20 minutes. Okay, Wyoming, they're 4-5. Bowl game or no bowl game?
I'm going to go with no bowl game. I got to see their schedule real quick.
At Boise?
Yeah, no.
Host Hawaii, yes.
Yes.
At Utah State?
No.
Probably not.
No.
If we shake the magic eight ball, signs point to no.
Yeah.
So after starting the season 4-2, they will end the season probably losing
5-7.
5-6. Oh, I guess, yeah, the best are 5-7, but 5-6.
So what happened? So my question here.
Defensive coordinator, new one. What happened?
Yeah, new defensive coordinator. What happened? What even happened to Wyoming, period? I mean, the way they started, they were a threat.
They were. They Nebraska?
They were a threat this season.
Idaho? North, yeah, they.
Nebraska? I mean, Nebraska's, you know, okay. They're not great.
But they're better than probably the second best team on their schedule.
Michigan?
No, I'm saying Nebraska for Wyoming.
Oh, yeah.
They're that's top team, but I don't know. Idaho, they blew out. Northern Colorado, we expect to blow out. Air Force, they looked really good. The Texas State game, we scratched their head. The Mexico game, I remember because I was doing some radio stuff in Boise. They were talking about that game where Wyoming got up to a big lead, but then New Mexico came back in the second half. So basically, if you want to time stamp where it happened, second half, New Mexico, Wyoming is kind of where they fell apart. Where they were outscored 28-17 against New Mexico in the second half, still won. But ever since then, they've just been not playing well. I don't know what the deal is. Defense, obviously, giving up two straight 50-point games, almost three straight to those teams. And rival, it's like, I don't know. I don't really know where to pinpoint it, but their offense, San Jose
State. Not only that, I mean, this game, come back to the present, this game versus Fresno State, they had a 10-0 lead. They gave up 40 unanswered.
Yeah.
They did not score. They didn't even threaten the rest of the night.
Yeah, I don't. Is Dave Christensen still hanging around then?
I honestly don't think he is.
Because they turned over the ball twice in the third and fourth quarter going for it. And so that's pretty crappy to do. So you don't think Wyoming can do better than him?
They may think they can. You need somebody in there who's going to be consistent. And I don't think Dave Christensen has been as consistent as he should be. Make a bowl game, miss a bowl game. Make a bowl game, miss a bowl game.
Yeah, he's, you know, win a bowl game, yeah.
Win a bowl game. Yeah, you have to be there. You have to win. You have to be there going consistent bowl games.
Because he's 26-33 overall. This is year number 5. I think what they'll do, I seriously think they'll give him another year because they have Brett Smith coming back. And I don't think they want to start over a new offense or anything like that. I think they will stick with him for one more year. If he can win with Brett Smith, he'll be fine. If not, he's gone. I think that's fair enough then because he's done. He's made the program decent for the most part. I just think with Brett Smith coming back, and assuming he stays, I don't think he can jump to the NFL. But assuming he's going to hang around, I think he's going to.
Yeah, but you know Brett Smith won't transfer.
Why would he transfer for 1 year?
It's not going to be an Austin Carter Samuel situation.
Yeah, but he transferred 1 year. Unless he's graduating and goes somewhere, I don't have everything to say he will, but I don't think that'll be the case. So, final game of the night, San Diego State, San Jose State.
I do not have CBS Sports Network, so I was listening to this game courtesy of XX 1090 Sports Radio out of San Diego.
Shout out to those guys.
I listen to Uncle Teddy. It's awesome.
Basically, San Jose State defense did not show up in the offense or defense show up in the fourth quarter. That's pretty much how that went down. They were winning 23-12 headed in the fourth quarter. They were outscored 22-7.
Yep.
And this also happened with San Diego State turning the ball over twice, converting only 4-12 on third downs. And Yeah, allowing David Felcher to charge, but that's not a big deal because he's a good quarterback. This is, like I said, I'll say it's like the fourth week in a row. This is the Aztecs team we expected the whole year. They can put up points, defense will be okay. And they are on the verge of making the bowl game, which they easily will with Hawaii and UNLV coming up. I'm assuming they beat UNLV, but the way this team was playing, did you expect a comeback being down by that many points headed into the final quarter?
I did not. But at the same time, this game, there were blocked kicks, there were missed field goals, there were missed extra points.
Crazy.
I mean, how does a team that misses a field goal, gets another one blocked, stand up to still win this game?
Yeah, two missed field goals, turn the ball over twice. I guess they made that two-point conversion to make up for it.
Yeah, I mean, really the key point that basically sealed San Jose State's loss was when the Aztecs blocked Austin Lopez's field goal.
And breaking news, 2 hours ago, he is still, Rocky Long is sticking with him as a kicker, Mick Morrow. So.
Oh, we little Seamus. We little Seamus.
Oh, my God. I did not realize.
Mighty Aztec. Mighty Aztec. We little Seamus McMorrow.
All right.
Seamus.
Seamus. Do you know.
I have to pronounce my Irish right.
I just pulled up the San Diego Union Tribune really quick to kind of look over a little bit of this game earlier. Do you know the last time San Diego State has made a field goal?
September 19th, I think.
You're close. September 28th is the last time they made a field goal.
Okay.
How is he still the kicker, Rocky Long?
Wee little Seamus. You have to make field goals. Otherwise, you're going to lose your lucky charms.
Wow. I don't...
Rocky Long is going to take him away and make fish tacos of him.
So that, I guess they are, like, in that respect, they, like you said, missed two, if they made both the field goals, this would have been a bigger margin of victory. But also, you can't just say San Diego State came back. San Jose State also missed a field goal. They're on in the third quarter.
Well, and that's the one. That's why I said. That's where I said.
Oh, that's where, the one. Okay.
Where the Aztecs blocked Austin Lopez's field goal.
Oh, that's right.
And then Muema, and then right after that, Muema had a 34-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, and then that was the game because San Jose State goes three and out. Then that's it.
Game over. That was pretty much it.
Game over. Aztecs, when Spartans were, I guess they were probably playing the best outside of Boise or Fresno, winning 4-5. They're going to go to the bowl game. San Jose State's going to make it because they're 5-4.
San Diego State fans are basically right now upset because they're one missed field goal away from being in the driver's seat to the Mountain West title game. To being the best in the conference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. You missed the field goal against Fresno.
I'm sorry, wee little Seamus. You have to learn how to kick the field goals.
Enjoy the poinsettia bowl again, Aztecs.
No.
No?
To the Armed Forces Bowl with you.
Oh, there you go.
Utah State will get the poinsettia bowl.
Interesting.
So now that we're actually finished with
the games,
you want to talk about bowl projections?
Yes, we have a few minutes here. Let's do that. We have a couple. Do you want to do BCS first or?
Well, however you want.
Let's just go to the BCS standings here. Fresno State moved up, as I projected late last night, even before a couple of games in final, that Fresno State would be number 14, assuming they were going to win. They were number 14. However, I did not see UCLA jumping 19 to 13, some craptastic reason, beating an OK UCLA team by 5 points.
They're like, here. Oh my God, that was just the most amazing jump ever.
Exactly. So here's the deal. First note.
Can't you tell that I'm from Los Angeles?
Of course.
Actually, I'm from the Valley. It's completely and totally different.
It's weird looking at the computer rankings because Fresno has a huge lead over Northern Illinois. And if Fresno keeps winning, they'll move to number 12 because UCLA, they may lose to USC. They're not going to beat Stanford in the title game. Oklahoma State will probably lose again and maybe even South Carolina and Missouri.
Yeah, if I have to pick a, like, how this is going to play out.
They'll be top 12, I think. Still have the auto bid. Who cares what UCF does?
Right. Because Oklahoma State's probably going to lose to Baylor.
And Oklahoma, maybe, too.
Yeah. UCLA, I will go ahead and say I think UCLA will probably lose to USC. USC right now is looking good under that coach.
Orgeron, letting media attend practice for once to see what's going on.
I'm going to want to give a cookie. give cookies in and out to all those players.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that was nice. But here's the thing. It's kind of weird. Because I was wondering how Northern Illinois made that jump because they're 18th, and they actually dropped in polls. They're 18th in the coaches' poll, 21 in the Harris poll, while Fresno is 13 or 14. And the computer ranking's a tie. I'm just guessing that's just the gap between because it's just kind of odd, isn't it? Yeah. I guess part of the Michigan State hates the quarter, but hates the computers hate Michigan State. But Fresno's going to BCS game, likely playing Baylor.
That's going to be a terrifying game.
Yeah, it might be like the Oregon game last year.
It's if that game happens, I could see the over under on that game possibly being like 100 points.
I'd probably say 85.
No, because Baylor's going to win 85-44.
I see what you mean. We'll see. I think, well, if that timeout gives LJ Jones and Daron Smith, Daron Smith? Is that right?
Yeah. Daron Smith, yeah.
I'm used to saying Darren Williams because his name is spelled the same way, but it's not Daron, it's Darren. But Daron Smith, if those guys actually get 100% healthy, that would help their cause a bit. But they're going to go to that's what's going to happen. The only thing I'm afraid of, because here's the gap. We talked about the difference in points. 0.43 for Fresno, 0.35, which is a huge gap.
That's a 0.8 gap. That's
0.08, but still.
0.08. Sizable. I'm sorry. Yes. I can't read my digits tonight.
Yeah, for a scientist guy, you should know your decimals, not like a screw over big time.
Thanks, ass.
I'm just saying it can. Here's the thing. I think Northern Light maybe have a chance to jump Fresno State. Because they play Ball State, who has one loss. They play Toledo, who is, 7-2 right now. Then they could play a 10-2 Buffalo team for the MAC title game. So there could be...
But see, they have to go undefeated through all those three teams as well.
So does Fresno State. They have to play... I'm saying, they want to get your point, too. It's tougher competition, but Fresno still has to play likely Boise State again. And a very good San Jose State team to end the season.
A very good San Jose State team that derped it up versus San Diego State.
Well, I'm just saying they...
I'm just going to go ahead and say that I think we saw last night, I mean, San Jose State was defeating San Diego State pretty handily yesterday, but San Diego State had the momentum at the end. I think that win, was it clutching defeat from the jaws of victory? Yes. You could put it.
Of course.
I think that kind of puts San Jose State as kind of a morale
killer,
suffering. So I think
Fresno will still be there because I don't think they'll get jumped because they're so much higher in the coaches' poll and that gap's pretty big. Even if other teams lose, but I just think it wouldn't shock me if that. I guess I'd be a little surprised. But not really surprised if that were the case.
Hustle Belt, you stay away from our BCS money, damn
Brian,
it.
Brian, leave us alone. All right, so I think we're...
That's right. I'm going to start a feud with Brian Vance for absolutely no reason.
Why? We already crushed them and paid. No kidding.
Oh.
Joking. They actually 300% from last year to this year. They're
yeah,
it.
Good. Actually, good job over there. It's fantastic.
So yeah, we're doing well. Good quality. We're getting close. There are six figures, page views, I believe, last time I checked. But let's go to the Mountain West games really quick because we're actually pressing up against the 50-minute mark here. I'm not going to go. What you wanted? hey, we're at 47 minutes. It's better than last time.
No, I didn't say it. I just said, like, your time that we want to keep on going just keeps on changing. So, continue.
Shut up. Okay, bowl games here really quick. So, are you in agreement? We don't need to go who's going where, but are you in agreement we're going to fill all six bowl spots?
All seven, you mean? Oh. Or all six? Yes.
Set six plus yes. A BCS? Think we need seven bowl
six
teams?
Six plus BCS, yeah.
That would be a record for the Mountain West, because...
So do you buy Mark Schlabach's projection, Fresno State versus Auburn Sugar Bowl?
Oh, I just realized I did not check on that stuff today. Hey, Brad Edwards, Fresno State, USC, come on. What is the – let me pull up the bowl rotation here because I know Orange Bowl gets first pick.
Sugar Bowl gets second.
And they get SEC champion, which, I mean, would be Alabama. Alabama makes national title, so it would be Auburn.
Let me pull up and see who he has in the other BCS games, because my theory was Orange Bowl is going to take Clemson and Oregon. They'll take Clemson to replace Florida State, Oregon as their first pick. Sugar Bowl, Alabama. Sugar Bowl takes Auburn.
So basically what he does is he has the BCS passing up on a Big Ten team.
Because I'm looking at the bowl. What's the bowl? Does the Fiesta Bowl pick last again?
Fiesta Bowl picks, no, second or third.
Let me see here. Sorry, this is bad. So I'm going to look at the process.
They both have the Fiesta Bowl having the American Conference.
Oh, it is. No, it is. Fiesta gets picked last. So, yeah, this does. Oh, I didn't realize. I thought Fiesta got the pick before. That's why I always said Sugar Bowl or Fiesta.
So, you really think that the fan base, though, would travel? This is what I don't get. That they pick the American Conference last
for Fiesta Bowl.
But Fresno State would go to the Sugar. Is this going to be like a Hawaii situation like it was in 2007?
No, because Sugar Bowl can pick either. They have to take. Okay, you on the board at this point.
They have to take the SEC.
No, they don't. If Alabama is in the Sugar Bowl, they will take the SEC. But if Alabama is in the Sugar Bowl, or excuse me, national title game in Pasadena, they get a replacement pick, and they're going to pick an SEC team if eligible. And that's likely to be – they're not going to take Missouri. They'll likely be Auburn, who will be 10-2 at the time.
All right.
And so here's how the rotation goes. Like I said, Orange Bowl will take Clemson as their first pick to replace Florida State. And then they'll pick Oregon as their first actual pick. Rose Bowl will get their – Rose Bowl's not in the rotation because they'll get their traditional Big Ten pack.
They're going to get Stanford, Ohio State, hands down.
Most likely. Sugar Bowl comes down to UCF – or American Conference champion, Fresno State.
Northern Illinois.
Actually, no. Here's the thing. At that point, those are the only two teams left. They cannot take a Big Ten team because those two teams have automatically qualified. So that's what they're stuck with taking.
Oh.
You get it?
But you really think they wouldn't pick the closer Central Florida versus Fresno State?
I know the Fiesta Bowl would want that to happen. But...
that's the thing is, I would say that
who's a better name? You got the Derek Carr name. You got the Carr name. People know who him and David Carr. Fresno's been last year and this year. Derek Carr, dark horse Heisman finalist, probably not. Well, but I never looked into this. I thought Fiesta Bowl got the pick before, so no. I think it makes perfect sense because Sugar Bowl. Here's the thing: Sugar Bowl already has Auburn. Their SEC team will fill up the stadium. It's like when they, even though they had to take Utah in 08. It was full of about 80% Alabama fans. They're going to get their sellout with Auburn or not. You know what I mean? I mean, with Fresno or with UCF. Their ticket sales will be SEC fans from Auburn. So why not take a Fresno State team who will give you better TV ratings than UCF? And then we can watch Baylor beat UCF 100-0.
Oh, boy.
I'm glad we talked about it. I did not realize that was the case, so that... Okay, here's the thing. I assume you'd rather see Fresno-Auburn has a better chance than Fresno-Baylor.
I would rather see Fresno-Auburn versus Baylor-Fresno. I think Fresno State at Auburn has a better chance than Baylor beating Fresno. Or, sorry, Fresno beating Baylor.
I agree. Interesting. I'm glad we discussed that. So, thank you for
being there. Okay, so then the rest of the Bulls. So, who do you think Las Vegas?
Boise State.
You think Boise? Who are they going to play?
I don't want to go through every game like that, but they're... it's going to be...
I really like this. I really like the potential of Boise State-USC. It's not going to happen now that USC has basically turned around their season.
I would like to see Oregon State. That'd be a good offense go against Rashawn Mannion.
Maybe. I almost want to see Las Vegas Bowl pass on Boise State.
Take Utah just State, maybe?
And pick Utah.
Utah State?
Yeah.
I don't know. Here, I just think it's going to be – they're going to fill the bowl spots. I think if there's going to be any contention, because, like, Jason Kirk, Schlabach has seven teams going. They got UNLV, San Jose State. Who was the team where – what was the team we're saying no bowling? I forget. It wasn't CSU.
Nevada?
No, because there wasn't there – are we still confident UNLV will win one more game?
They play Air Force.
Okay.
So if it's at Air Force, but they should beat Air Force.
Yeah, so they'll get seven teams in because San Jose State's going to go bowl. We're assuming oh, I think it's CSU. We're like, yeah, they're in. So they'll get seven teams. San Diego State Navy and Armed Forces bowl. I don't know. Here's what I'd like to happen. I would like to see Utah State in Las Vegas, Boise and San Diego. New Mexico will probably be CSU. Hawaii could be UNLV or San Jose State. Okay. And that's between Idaho Bowl or Hawaii Bowl.
So here's my thing. So Utah State going to Vegas, Boise State taking Poinsettia. Both those games will sell.
There's a lot of Boise State bandwagon fans
in San Diego.
Schleybach has Notre Dame, Utah State, and Poinsettia.
Yeah, Utah State, they're going to drive down to Vegas. No problem.
Here's the thing, too, really quick, about the Poinsettia Bowl. Isn't it an at-large team or Army? So there's somehow they might be able to wrangle like maybe Notre Dame to go to that bowl game, which just gives it some more interest, I guess. Not that the game would be all that great.
Boise State-Notre Dame? Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine that?
Get it done. Tommy turnover, throwing the ball.
Reese's.
It was Tommy Heisman earlier. It wasn't for the Heisman, whatever they're saying.
For all of 2 seconds.
Yes. Because that could happen because the Poinsettia Bowl is not – because looking at the picks, like they have – Utah State, Texas State, kill me now. Jeez. There is – Jason, what are you doing? He goes weird on those at-large picks. He kind of goes way out there. Here's the Poinsettia Bowl matchup. Utah State, Texas State, Boise, Oregon – no, excuse me. Utah State, Notre Dame, Boise, Bowling Green, Boise State, Toledo, Utah State, Bowling Green. So that's kind of out of the main guy, CBS, and things like that, so –
I like, you know what, I do like, so I think UNLV to the Hawaii Bowl would actually, I think UNLV would probably get fans over there.
It's their second home, right? They play Hawaii quite a bit.
They play Hawaii quite a bit. There's actually a lot of Hawaiians in Las Vegas in UNLV. I think they'll probably travel back home for that. And it's Christmas Eve Bowl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and when I say a lot of fans, if UNLV gets a crowd of 10,000, it'll be pretty much awesome.
Yeah. Not 10,000 UNLV fans, 10,000 total fans, right?
No, 10,000 UNLV
fans. Oh, I was going to say maybe 3,000 UNLV.
There were 17,000 at the game yesterday.
I'm saying if it's in Hawaii.
Never mind. Okay, I'll shut up.
No. Remember, it's in Hawaii. It's not the Hawaii/Vegas Bowl. All right. We're done here. Do you have anything else to add after that awesome finishing comment you made?
Right?
Wait, thanks. We are presenting possibly a new theme song shortly.
Maybe, maybe not. I still have to record stuff.
Yeah, we're not.
Still have to debate. Okay, so here's – so if you've listened to the podcast all the way through, if you have suggestions on what I should parody for a theme song for our next podcast theme song, please write it in the comments.
Yes.
Because I've come into kind of, a stumbling block in terms of, you know, theme songs. I have one, but it's a very horrible idea.
It is an interesting one. He told me what it was. Okay, we kind of want songs like, they got to be known, but not like super well. You know what I mean?
They got to be they can be super well known, but it's just, it has to be able to, you know, can't be depressing, maybe.
Yeah.
It has to be something that would be fun, entertaining to listen to for a period of weeks or months at a time.
True. All right, so that's what we got for that. I got nothing else to add except for I'm thankful that tidbit that I must have overlooked the Sugar Bowl getting pick number 2 in the BCS roundup. So, dang, that's too far to go. Because if it was in Fiesta Bowl, Tempe, I'd try to definitely go to that game.
Enough.
Let's move on. Sorry, I just... pondering my
own thoughts. Let's move on. Let's stop.
Show over. Thank you, everybody, for listening this long. Comment if you liked it, hate it, theme song suggestions. And we will, football starts this week again. And everybody have a great week and hope your team, yes, your team did well, maybe.